Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. And it's good to be able to begin the year and close the year on a Sunday with the good brethren here at Warfield. And we look back over the year and I feel blessed for being here, as I'm sure you do. And it's good to be able to come together this morning to study from the Word of God. In the scripture reading that we have this morning, the Apostle Paul goes to Rome. And we find that he's going to be put in jail there. Mark, you might want to reload that. I don't think that is working. While he's getting that up, I will welcome our visitors once again. Daniel mentioned in our prayer that we have those out of town traveling. Let's remember them in our prayers. And there will be those leaving today, and we keep them in mind as well for your safe travels. It's good to have those who are in for the holidays. It's good to have Sherry's family with us this morning and those who are visiting from other families. We're grateful that you are here. The Apostle Paul, thank you, Mark, came to Rome. And I like how Luke records that when we came to Rome, he would have come up what is known as the Appian Way. This is a very beautiful entrance into Rome. You can still walk some of that even today. And so no doubt, Paul and others, Luke and others traveling with him would have seen the beautiful scenery and the signs along the way going up the Appian Way. But once he came into Rome, Luke records that he was put in a house arrest prison. And we are told that he was chained. But we're going to learn this morning that even though he was chained, he was not bound. Brethren and friends, I want us to consider this morning the fact that we might have limitations in our life. But we don't have to be bound by those things. We can be physically bound, but we don't have to be bound in our attitude and in our disposition. I believe many let limitations and bad circumstances, I'm good, thank you, hinder their Christianity. And they allow things of a physical limitation to limit their good work for the Lord. And we're going to see this morning that Paul did not allow that. Paul was physically limited, but his attitude and his disposition was not. He was physically chained and his body could be only moved a certain distance from that guard. But in his mind and in his heart, he continued to do great things for the Lord. I'm sure it was beautiful going up the Appian Way. Rome sat on 7 hills. There were about 1.5 million in population, beautiful buildings. The Forum would have been there. The Colosseum would have been there. And you can still see some of those things today. And the text says that in Acts chapter 28, when we came to Rome, that Paul dwelt by himself. And the text says there that there was a guard. When we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And the last part of the chapter says that lasted about 2 years. During this 2 year period of time, Paul writes what we know as 4 prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. In those prison epistles, he speaks of himself as a prisoner of Christ. He uses the word bonds. He uses the word chains. He uses the word fellow prisoner several times. He writes about, in Ephesians 3:13, his tribulations. In Colossians 1:24, about his sufferings. And in Philippians 1:30, about his conflict. Picture for yourself being chained for 2 years. This was not the first time this happened to him. He'd been in prison before in Caesarea for about 2 years. Now he's in Rome for about 2 years in a prison, and most likely, according to 2 Timothy, he will be in prison a third time. When Paul was in prison, he was limited physically, but he was not bound in his attitude. And so this morning I want us to consider some lessons that we can learn from that. And we'll close this morning by asking ourselves, what have our limitations been recently? What have been our chains recently? And can we learn from the Apostle Paul to be unlimited in our attitude and our disposition to serving the Lord? Turn with me to 2 Timothy, if you will. The idea of being physically bound but not spiritually bound, that idea this morning comes from a statement that Paul writes in 2 Timothy. And again, this is probably the third time that Paul has been in prison. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul writes, "For which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned." The American Standard says, "But the word of God is not bound." I am bound, but the word of God is not bound. I am bound physically. I am limited. But the word of God is not bound. And we need to remember that. We might have some physical limitations, and we'll talk about that later this morning, but we don't need to be limited in our attitude and in our disposition and in getting the word of God out. Let's see this morning how that Paul was physically chained, but he was not bound. Paul was physically chained in Rome for about 2 years, but his defense was not bound. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul did not give up. This morning we're looking at the passages of Scripture that deal with Paul's attitude. We're going to take the four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, and I've pulled out those passages that deal with Paul's personal experiences, what he is mentioning about himself. The rest of the books talk about what he's teaching, doctrines and subjects that he's teaching to others. But notice in your Bible there are statements that he makes about himself. And when he does that, he's telling us about his own personal attitude. While he is physically limited, he's spiritually unlimited. And here's an example in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me." He mentions the same thing later in verse 16. Paul's not going to give up. He's physically limited, but he's going to continue to defend and preach the truth of the Word of God. Paul is not going to allow physical limitations and hardships and constraints to get him to say, "I give up, I quit." When Paul was in Roman prison, it was not because he had broken any law. It started back in Acts chapter 21, and there's a journey that goes from Acts 21 all the way to the end of the book, and it's not because Paul had broken any laws. It's through a series of injustices that Paul is in prison. He hasn't done anything wrong. It's because people are in power who have put him there. It's because of false accusations. It's because of injustices. And Paul could have gotten there to Rome and sat there for 2 years wringing his hands and whining and complaining, "This is unfair." But that would have been a waste of 2 years. He said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm going to defend
the Word of God. I'm going to keep preaching the Word of God. Paul's gospel was not bound. Look with me at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. I want you to underscore in your Bible that it turned out in a good way because of Paul's attitude. You are the one who is in charge of either limiting yourself or not limiting yourself. You're in charge of that. That's what I want you to get this morning. You decide. You decide if you're limited or not. You decide how you're going to move forward. Paul had an attitude of saying, I am physically chained. I cannot move. But up here, I can continue to do what the Lord wants. And you decide that. I decide that. And he decided, verse 13, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Paul decided that I'm going to preach the gospel even to the Praetorian Guard. This was the elite guard. This was the guard that was around the emperor himself. This was the guard that was pro-Roman and a Roman nationalist and was born and raised on Roman paganism and to be loyal to the emperor. This is the elite of the elite. And Paul says, when a guard comes in of the Praetorian, I'm going to preach him the gospel. Now, he could have sat there and just wrung his hands. I'm here because of injustices and false accusations, and this is unfair. But he made a decision from the very beginning. I'm chained, but I'm not bound. And that's what I want us to understand this morning. He didn't stop preaching. He preached so much that if you'll turn with me to Philemon in verse 10, somehow a runaway slave named Onesimus came in contact with him. I don't know how that happened. We're not told. Paul is chained. Somehow Onesimus makes contact with him. Paul preaches him the gospel and sends him home a Christian. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. He preached the gospel to him. Paul's defense was not bound. Paul's gospel was not bound. And you and I make that same decision today. We can say, and you can look over the past year and the past 2 years, and you can see different kinds of things that have been problems for us. And we can say, I quit and I give up. Or we can say, I'm going to keep moving forward. Paul's boldness was not bound. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul did not become weak. Paul did not become someone who was a coward and a quitter and someone who said, well, I've had problems happen to me and so I'm just going to give up. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. He was chained, but he was not bound. That in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. No doubt that impressed the Praetorian Guard. Here is a prisoner who, when I come in, he's always talking about the gospel to me. And he's speaking boldly. He's not weak. He's not a coward. He keeps pressing onward. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, while I'm sitting with a chain on me, that even Christ, even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Physical limitations and problems and things that we experience in life have a tendency to chip away on our confidence. Paul's boldness was not bound. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul's praise was not bound. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What's one of the first things that happens when difficult times set in? People start blaming God. And why did God do this and why did God do that? I've heard that over the past year. And I've heard that out of the mouth of brethren over the past year. We've got to be very careful about that. Paul did not sit there in prison and begin to have resentment and blame God and bitterness. He's praising God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 20. Now unto Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within Him. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Paul continued to praise God. And we must do the same. God allows us to go through difficult times, but that's not an opportunity then for us to resent God and become bitter. Paul continued to praise God. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. We know the book as a book of joy. Another thing that Paul was not bound in, his joy was not bound. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Philippians 1, 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Paul's joy was not bound. Paul did not become angry. Paul is not sitting there for 2 years chained to a guard, upset and angry and bitter and mean and ugly. He writes a book of Philippians that's a book of joy. And that's hard. It's hard for me. Maybe it's hard for you when you go through a difficult circumstance to keep the joy there. It's easy to let the complaining come out and the murmuring come out. You don't find any of that in Paul's epistles. Not one time is he complaining. Not one time is he sitting there wringing his hands and, oh, woe is me, and let's have a pity party for me. He was physically chained, but these great spiritual qualities are coming out. And it's because he made a conscious choice to let that happen. Verse 18 of Philippians chapter 1. What then, only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Can we do the same? We can. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul's thanksgiving was not bound. He did not become depressed and despondent and lethargic and down and out. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. Philemon verse 4, he mentions giving thanks. Paul did not become ungrateful. Paul did not have ingratitude. He kept the big picture in mind, and he's chained and he's having this difficult problem, but he kept the big picture in mind. I'm still thankful to God for these things that God does. It's easy to get tunnel vision when we are in a difficult situation. We get tunnel vision. We need to step back and get the big picture. And keep our joy and keep our thankfulness. Paul was chained, but he was not bound. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, a well-known passage. Paul's positive attitude was not bound. He kept a positive attitude. We're very familiar with Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and following, where he talks about pressing onward. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but look at chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. He was willing to leave behind that old life, that I might gain Christ, verse 7. I'm a Christian. I'm serving Christ. I'm no longer a part of that old manner of life. And then you turn over to the well-known passage in chapter 4 and verse 11 where he talks about his contentment. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstances I am in, including this Roman prison. Remember, he's writing this book from a Roman prison. And I'm content. And I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well-known passage. Paul's positive attitude was not bound. It's very easy to get negative in difficult circumstances. Paul didn't do that. Paul was not the subject of self-pity. Paul was not the subject of woe is me and I'm down and so I want to see if I can bring everybody else around me down. He was always himself positive in bringing others in that same regard. Let's do the same. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul's growth was not bound. Sometimes we get in difficult circumstances and we say, this is it, I'm going to quit. I was really gung-ho before, but now I'm just going to put it in neutral or I'm going to put it in park and I'm just going to stop. Paul is in a Roman prison and he's saying, I'm pressing onward. I'm going to keep going. I do not regard myself, Philippians 3:13, as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. He didn't stop being active. He was physically limited, but he didn't stop being active. He describes himself in Ephesians 3 and verse 7 as a minister. He describes himself in Philippians 2:17 as an offering. He describes himself in Colossians 1:29 as laboring and striving. He describes himself as a fellow worker in Philemon verse 24. Paul was not going to stop. And he wasn't going to stop because his attitude wasn't going to stop. Physically, he's chained. His attitude is unchained. And that's where I want us to be today. As we come down the end of this year, and Lord willing, as we begin a new year and we think about all that we're going through, we need to think about the Apostle Paul. And how that often we have limitations and problems and issues, but we have to keep serving the Lord. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul's influence was not bound. Paul's influence was not bound. This is amazing. When people were coming and going, he's sending letters to churches. People are bringing reports to him, and then he's sending information that they can take back. He's converting Onesimus. He's preaching to the Praetorian Guard. This is a man who keeps his influence up. Because his attitude was positive, and he's continuing to speak, and he's continuing to pray and thank God and be joyful. And Paul is having a great influence even when he's confined to house arrest. Philippians 1:14, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Here's Paul confined, and the brethren are getting a lot of encouragement to speak out. Paul didn't give up being a good example. In fact, two places in this book, turn with me to chapter Philippians 3:17, two places in this book, he encourages brethren to follow his example. Brethren, join in following my example. Philippians 3:17. Philippians 4:9, the things that you learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. What a man. What a Christian. Sometimes we think that when limitations are on us, we can't do any good. You can do a world of good. And sometimes, if there are physical limitations, the people who come to you, and that's what was happening to Paul, you can bless them and they can turn around and bless others. Paul's contact with the churches was not bound. We have four letters, one to an individual, Philemon, the other three to churches, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Paul is sending messengers and letters to churches and this individual, Philemon. He didn't think of himself alone. He's thinking, what contact can I make with others? A lot of times when difficult situations come on us, we turn inward, and it's about me, and egocentric and narcissistic and self-pity and all of this. Paul is thinking, how can I bless others? It's amazing. And we need to be like that. Paul wrote these letters. He's sending messengers to encourage them. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's notice a few things that was in Paul's mind while he is making this contact. One thing that Paul didn't forget was he didn't forget his humility. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles. Paul didn't forget his humility when he was in prison. Paul didn't forget to appreciate other brethren when he was in prison. He highly speaks of Timothy in Philippians 2:29 and following, Epaphroditus in 29 and 30, and Timothy earlier in chapter 2. He shows appreciation for brethren, for individuals. Paul didn't forget his patience in Philippians 3 and verse 1. Paul didn't forget his manners. When he writes to Philemon in Philemon verses 8 through 10, he says, I could enjoin you to take him back, but I would rather beseech you so that it can be of a free will. Paul didn't forget his manners when he was in prison. Paul said to Philemon, when Onesimus comes back, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. Paul didn't forget to be a giving person while he was in prison. He's constantly contacting brethren in order to build them up. Paul's concern for others was not bound. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Ephesians 1:15. Paul did not become uncaring. Sometimes when we have difficult circumstances, we focus inwardly on ourselves and we stop caring about others around us. And that's difficult to do. I've been there. It takes a special attitude and a desire to keep being caring and concerning for others, even when we're having our own difficult situations. Paul, for example, continued to pray for others. Ephesians 1:15, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. This shows up several times. Ephesians 3:14, Philippians 1:4, Colossians 1:3, Philemon 4. Paul talks about praying for others. I do not cease to pray for you. Paul's concern for others was not bound. He served them. He wrote them letters. He sent them messengers. He prayed for them. If you take the four prison epistles and look at each one, there is a blessing at the beginning and at the end of each book. He says, grace and peace to you. He's constantly wanting to comfort the brethren and bless them and encourage them and greet them while he's chained to a Roman guard. And then last of all, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Paul's hope was not bound. His trust and his confidence and his hope in God was not bound. Paul did not become a pessimist. Paul did not say, I quit and give up. Paul, for example, in Philippians 1:19, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through the prayers and the providence of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation, there's your hope and your trust and your confidence and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean more fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Paul realizes I can still go to heaven and be with Christ if I will remain faithful to Him. He was hopeful about his short-term plans. He talks about how that he believes that he will get out of prison. But he's hopeful about his long-term plans. I get to go to heaven and be with Christ. So he didn't become a pessimist. And neither should we. So this morning, as we close, I want us to consider that each of us may have a chain. Something that hinders us, something that hampers us, something that prevents us physically from doing something greater. But I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren and friends, that like the Apostle Paul, we might be chained, but we don't have to be bound. Is it a sickness? Is it a doctor's diagnosis? Is it a setback? Is it a handicap? Is it age? Our marriage situation? Victim of some attack? Unappreciated? Unsuccessful? Unfaithful children? Failures? Serious mistakes? Injustices? Pandemic? Whatever. Whatever. Let's have the attitude of the Apostle Paul, that our chain need not prevent us in being useful to Jesus Christ. We must not let our bonds defeat us. Why was Paul so successful? And we'll close with this. He did get good reports. There were people who came to him, Ephesians 1:15 and Philippians 2:19 and Colossians 1:4, Tychicus comes and Timothy and Epaphroditus, and different individuals will come to him and he will get good reports. That's one thing that kept him positive. That's true. And he had some co-workers. We're told in Colossians 4 and verse 11 and Philemon verse 24 that he had fellow soldiers and fellow prisoners who would come and work with him. I'm sure that was a part of it. But the answer really lies in the fact that Paul had an unselfish devotion to the Lord. He says, "For me to live is Christ." And that's what kept all of these things that we talked about this morning from being bound. And the same thing will be true for you. An unselfish, completely devoted relationship with Jesus Christ will allow us in limited circumstances to keep defending the gospel and preaching the gospel and being bold and praising God and having joy and having thankfulness and care and concern for others. And that's what I want us to have this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Your life for Christ can begin this morning by coming and being baptized into His body. And we can assist you in doing that. There may be a child of God who's erred in some way, and we can help you to come back to the Lord. But each one of us can mention some chain, some bond that is in our life. But we're going to go out this morning unbound by that. And our attitude and our disposition and our service to Christ is going to be unlimited and unbound. And we're going to accomplish great things for Him and for our children and for our grandchildren. And if we can assist you in doing that as well, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?